Badass Bitches, and welcome back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I got my first tarot deck when I was still in grade school and continued to pursue this passion, which eventually turned into designing and illustrating my own deck of empowered women, and thus Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B was born. I hope you all had a fabulous new moon in Sagittarius on Friday and are continuing to enjoy December's cards. In case you forgot, these are the Seven of Cups, which is bringing us multiple opportunities, but reminding us to move forward decisively and with intuition, because these opportunities can fade or vanish if we don't. We also have the Fiery Page of Wands working with us to inspire action, creativity, and change. To hear more in-depth info about the cards of the month for December, you can go back to last week's podcast, episode 20, which was the December overview. On to the card of the week. Three of Cups. All right. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is three women dancing in a circle, holding their golden cups up high, cheersing in celebration. There are pumpkins and fruit at their feet, kind of showing that this is a time of abundance and joy, and maybe a harvest just occurred that they're celebrating. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is TLC. These crazy, sexy, cool chicks know how to party, and the Three of Cups bring a spontaneous celebration of love, friendship, and TLC. So this can indicate kind of a wedding, a family holiday event, or a big celebration. It can even just be a really fabulous girls' night out. This is the perfect time in the middle of the holiday season to get this card. And if I might selfishly add, perfect for Sagittarian season and my birthday, which is coming up this week, just saying. So yeah, this week, plan a fun night out or two with your besties and really enjoy that Three of Cups energy that's working in our favor. This also coincides with the first quarter moon we have coming up on Wednesday the 12th. The first quarter moon is in Pisces, and that's really kind of inviting that cosmic creativity of Pisces and allowing ourselves to celebrate Three of Cups style, the victories and creations that we've brought into fruition this year. I think that energy is the perfect note to introduce this week's guest. I'm gonna try not to be too much of a fangirl here, but OMG, she's pretty amazing. She's a talented film and television actress who's known for her work on Law & Order and The Good Wife. She's also a fellow tarot aficionado and the author of one of my favorite books of all time, Magician and Fool, Susan Wands.
Thank you so much, Susan, for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to speak to you, and I know the listeners are really excited as well.
My pleasure.
Oh my gosh. And first of all, I have to say, you have the best last name ever. I cannot believe that this is like your actual ancestral name.
It was a torment when I was growing up, of course, because you could imagine, you know, Susan Wands, I was called Susie Wong, and then show us your magic wands and all that sort of nonsense. But my grandmother on my father's side, Goldie Wands, was actually quite psychic. And she had wonderful abilities to tell stories. And we did the Ouija board and we had a great time sort of exploring what did the wands mean. So I'm very proud to have that last name.
Yes, that's incredible. And obviously you are kind of destined to be in the magical esoteric world somehow, you know, with that last name. So I, as you know, I'm such a fan of your work, especially Magician and Fool. And through finding that book, I learned that you also had an interest in tarot before writing Magician and Fool. How did you first become involved with tarot, like reading and learning about it?
In high school, I had a book of Pamela's tarot drawings, although I think at the time I didn't even know that Pamela's name was attached to the tarot cards, because they were published as the Rider-Waite cards. And it was only until I started investigating later that her signature in each one of her cards, the PCS, the initials together, stood for Pamela Coleman Smith. And from that, I became obsessed. I read tarot cards as sort of a part-time job for quite a few years. And then about the time I was about 25, I went to a brunch in New York City at a restaurant, which is no longer there, called Nadine's. And they had this fantastic tarot reader there. And she read my cards and told me that I was destined not just to be a tarot reader, but I was supposed to bring Pamela's name out into the world. And at the time, I had no idea what she was talking about. It just seemed like, what? Sure.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then from that, I became obsessed with researching everything I could about Pamela. First, I wrote an outline of the book, and then I tried to write her story as a play. And then I realized I would just have to really dig in there and do the whole scavenger hunt about who Pamela was. And that led me to research more and more of her.
I love that. That's actually how I found Magician and Fool. I was reading the, I think it was released last year, Pamela Coleman Smith, The Untold Story. And you are referenced at the end of that book as, you know, being the author of historical fiction mystery piece featuring Pamela Coleman Smith and the Tarot. And I was instantly like, oh my God, what is this book? That sounds like my dream. So I'm a Sagittarius Aries rising. So in like very impulsive and impatient. So I ordered it on Amazon, but I couldn't wait the 2 days for Prime to deliver. So I then downloaded the Kindle as well and like started reading it that night. And I literally couldn't put it down. So can you tell us a little bit about the process and how you decided? You said at first you were considering writing it as a play. How did you decide to make it into a fictional book? And then how did you kind of decide to fuse historic characters into this really amazing, addictive fictional plot?
Well, the play itself was not satisfying. Stuart Kaplan, who owned the copyright to Magician and Fool, I invited him to come down from Stanford, Connecticut to see it. And I was mostly concentrated on her years in Jamaica. And we both sort of agreed the play couldn't contain this huge story of who Pamela was. And Stuart Kaplan, who had discovered Pamela's cards in 1971 in a toy fair in Berlin and had been in charge of U.S. Games and distributing it, was so kind and encouraging. He let me come up to Stanford a couple times and go through his archives. There were several other people. Melinda Boyd, a writer in Pennsylvania, who is one of the co-authors of that book that you were talking about, The Untold Story of Pamela Coleman Smith. Mm-hmm. Mary Greer, who is also a fantastic historian.
I love her work, yes.
Yeah, she's absolutely definitive in terms of understanding a lot of the spreads and the cards. And then a new person that I met a couple years ago, Sasha Graham, the Tarot Diva. All these people have incredible insights. And so it was a feast of research to figure out who Pamela was. It really wasn't until I took this tour last year and went on this historical trip to figure out where Pamela's grave was in Bude, Cornwall, that I finally got a real feeling of being able to tell her story.
I love the whole kind of unfolding of that process. And I think it's interesting personally too, that you have kind of parallels. Like, I mean, I know that like, this is the first time we're speaking, but from reading about your background and, you know, hearing a bit about your background, you seem to have a lot of parallels with Pamela in terms of you also are an actress on both television and stage, and you kind of had this connection instantly with Tarot. So did you find even more of those connections as you were kind of going through that journey of finding more in person and the locations and things about her background?
Oh, that's absolutely true, Rebecca. I mean, I laugh sometimes because there's so many things that Pamela did, I did. I first started out in a community theater in Spokane, Washington, but I worked in the costume shop. And Pamela started out in the theater world in the costume shop.
Oh, that's crazy.
So I'm obsessed with clothes, and that's part of the reason why I love looking up your website to see that you're into fashion and you have a great sense of what clothes say and how clothes are styled. And
yeah, you know, that was my background as well. It's so, yeah, I feel like we have a lot of parallels. It's so interesting. Yeah.
Now, can I just ask a quick question? How did you start out in fashion?
I was born in Pennsylvania and I went to high school in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And I was actually this very weird, esoteric kid that was into Tarot. I was also like weirdly nerdy in math. And it's funny, I love the numerology of Tarot. But in Amsterdam, I had thought I was going to go into law or business when I was younger. And in Amsterdam was when I really discovered kind of art and fashion on a new level. So I decided at that point in high school to major in fashion design. And my background is in that world. I designed for Donna Karan for a while, for Nike. I was the VP of design for Playboy's apparel and lingerie side, and had my own line, and then recently have kind of delved deeper into it. Similar to you, I had always done, you know, been interested in Tarot, had read cards since I was young on and off, but it was really over the past couple years that I've gone much deeper into that world, and that's how I found your work, which was honestly really, I learned so much more about Pamela through you. So that was such a, it was a really like fortuitous find. And I the way that you wrote the book to me is really intriguing, because for those people that may be interested, but like not so quick to delve into historical, you know, nonfiction, I was like, ooh, this is like fun and exciting and I can't put it down. But I learned a lot and then would go back to the historic references. So I feel like you've given me an even better understanding of historical aspects of Tarot.
I think it's so great that you have this background in fashion, because Tarot, and in many ways, when she's drawing these theater posters of Tarot cards, the costume or the outfit that the person is wearing is informed by so many aspects of, you know, Egyptology, Greek, Roman, Celtic. And I think the fact that you could look at the Tarot cards and understand that it was saying more than just a picture, it was actually trying to put several different religious ideas in there. Pamela herself was a Jill of all trades. You know, she did wallpaper, she did costume design. So she was very much like you, in fact, that she threw a lot of things at the wall, you know, in terms of using her artistic sense to say, I've got these great gifts, but I don't know quite where to put it. So I'm just going to keep putting it out there. And I admire that so much about people like you, who are willing to change gears and switch it up, because I think that's what Tarot is all about. It's willing to go with what the message is for today.
Oh, definitely. That's something that I feel like I'm now like in a stage in my life that I'm embracing, because I was very much more calculated and planned out. And that's something that in working more deeply with tarot has really taught me. Actually, one of the things that's funny in you saying that, one of the previous interviews that I had read or watched with you that really resonated with me, you said that Pamela had lived an authentic life, and that was something that you really loved about her and learning about her. And that's something that obviously I deeply connect with as an artist and empath and all around kind of nonconformist rebel. Do you feel that that's one of the most important elements of Pamela's legacy?
And I think you're absolutely right about the authentic life being left in Pamela's legacy, especially through the tarot cards, because for women especially, we have a tough time getting credence about what our path is, especially if it's offbeat or unaccredited. And the wonderful thing about doing a tarot reading or studying tarot is you have to teach yourself about what resonates true for you. You look at the death card or the devil card, and you have to come to grips about what that card means to you. I mean, in the devil card, for instance, there's two naked people, you know, shackled, but the shackles are open. And it's right. So interesting, like a Freudian Rorschach test. What do you see in it? So in some ways, we are finding the ways to our own enlightenment by saying, I understand what works for me.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I think that that's what I find so healing for a lot of myself and a lot of clients that I work with, is kind of that individualized and customized freedom of really interpretation that isn't universal of their, you know, this is one way, like many religions and even some spiritual sects are with tarot. It is very open-ended. And I think that that is just very helpful and empowering.
And seeing all the different ways people can interpret in tarot. I mean, Mary Greer looks at it differently than Rachel Pollack or Sasha Graham or any of the other people who really are authorities in the field in terms of where tarot is today. But I'm so encouraged about all the young people coming into tarot and bringing their own modern relevant takes on it, because that's what keeps us all talking about what is our truths.
Well, that's what, it's funny, because when I had done my deck really just for myself and a handful of really friends and people that I was teaching, and I always described the archetypes as, you know, people in pop culture that we know, and I wanted to create a deck that was all empowered women. And so as I was teaching the cards, I was like, okay, Oprah's the Hierophant, because she's kind of like teacher of life lessons, you know?
Yeah. And you are tapped into it. So you understand how to interpret it, because that's what's needed, is a modern understanding of it. That's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much. As I said, I cannot recommend this book enough. I've you know, told a lot of clients about it. I'm going to post back to your site and your Instagram on the podcast. It's funny, I tend to read more metaphysical and nonfiction books. So this was such an incredible treat. Like, I haven't had a fiction book that I was this obsessed with since, I don't know, like Valley of the Dolls, like a trashy grade. And I was like in this book. And in a lot of ways, I don't know if you've been told this, it reminded me kind of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. But it really had, for me, that added bonus of the historic characters that then I could go back to. And that's, I think this isn't like your book in a lot of ways, gives people that intro. Cause then I know a little bit about Thoreau and Crowley's work, but then him being this like very intricate character in your book, I was like, oh, and then I would go back to like historical, articles and everything featuring him and how he had started his deck. And it was really interesting that you could learn kind of through the excitement of the characters in your book and then go back and know with historical accounts of those individuals.
That's the great thing about historical research, is that when you find these people, you can become obsessed with their lives. I've written the next two books and I'm editing them now. The next book, of course, is just in the same steps as the Major Arcana. It's High Priestess and Empress, and then the book after that is Emperor and Hierophant.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
It's taking forever to edit because I want to do it correctly, and I'm with a really great writing group, and they're very much helping me rewrite it. So they're not into Tarot, so they need to have it really spelled out. But Crowley, in these next couple books, it's been so fascinating to study his story and the people who follow him, and why was he known as the Beast 666? It's a great contrast with Pamela's, I don't want to say innocent, but she had more of a protected sense.
Yeah. And it's funny because even in without knowing, I mean, because I've learned a lot of this history through your work, and without knowing that, even like I know a lot of people that do read with his deck and are drawn to it. But to me, when I was younger and up through my adult years, I've worked with so many decks, and even it was always derived from Smith Rider Waite and from Pamela's work, because there was just lighter energy around it.
Right.
You know? And it's something that you can sense like through that artwork and through the symbolism, and now learning more about the history of it is really interesting, as to like, oh, I kind of had that intuition without knowing anything about it.
I think that there's also a big lesson in terms of being a tarot reader for other people in investigating Crowley, is to make sure that you diffuse, or you let go of the dark energy that you can attract doing tarot readings. It's like a therapist that needs to sort of, have a transition period out of a reading or a therapy session. You know, tarot readings are very powerful, and you take on a lot of people's issues and problems, light and darkness.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that researching Crowley has taught me, and I was warned about this going into researching his life, that you have to make sure that you ask for blessings and protection as you enter and as you leave. Because I don't know how much credence or weight you want to give to dark energy, but it is a reality, and you want to make sure that you don't attract it to you and fester or encourage it in a way.
Well, it's something that, especially as the amount of clients and events that I'm doing has drastically increased over this past year. I've like exactly what you're advising. I've started working with a shamanic healer who has made it very clear that I have to, there's certain rituals I put into place. I do kind of do that like prayer and sage and ritual before readings. And when I afterwards, even if it's not in my home, I come home, I sage everything. And
good.
Because I was noticing, not like necessarily horrible darkness, but just pure exhaustion. Like I would come home from an event that ended at 7:30 and I'm totally a night owl. I think I purchased your Kindle edition at like 1 a.m. and read like probably half the book that night. And I just, I was coming home from these like readings and events, and I would fall straight to sleep at like 7:30, 8 p.m. and was like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with me? But it does. It's exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of energy, good and bad, especially when you're doing back-to-back readings, and to make sure that you're protecting that.
I think that's the reason why we have ceremonies, is that, there's a ritual, and there are steps to enter into these worlds, and then there's steps to go back.
Yeah.
It's important that we honor that, because otherwise it becomes like vampires inside of you, just bleeding you out. And you have to make sure you have your boundaries. I was definitely warned researching Aleister Crowley that several people did not want him to be developed as a hero. To understand that this was my choice, but if I really wanted to understand his world, to make sure that people understand, you just don't play around with this very lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I really, I love, I mean, obviously there's a lot of darkness there, but I love his character and I love kind of, I guess you're going further into it, but in the first book, just the development of that is incredible and fascinating.
Well, we can certainly understand where these monsters come from. When you see what's done to people, it doesn't come out of a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
Under them. Yeah.
Exactly. The other thing I wanted to ask you before I get into like the close of this interview. So I do a lot of giveaways on my, my social media and my site. Can I get you to sign it so I can do a giveaway for our listeners and for, the social media followers?
Absolutely. And I'd be glad to give you a couple copies of my book as well.
Oh my gosh. I would love, yes, I would love that. I actually, I live right around the corner from, Oscar Wilde, and I feel like you would love that place because a lot of the individuals featured in your book are kind of, there's artwork or they're like referenced and it's a really cute restaurant. So
oh, darling, I've got a table there. That's my
own. Oh my God, book. That's so funny. That's literally right around the corner from my apartment.
And all right. We'll hoist an elbow there.
Yes. And okay. So then I can get you to sign this so I can do like a fun giveaway for the listeners and followers. Amazing. All right. So before I let you go, the question that I ask everyone I have on the podcast, do you have a favorite card? And if so, what is your reason that it's your favorite?
Well, I'll tell you the card that I get consistently that I can't seem to shake off is the Queen of Wands. It's a card where she's sitting on the throne and she has a black cat in front of her as her familiar. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the cards that Nate, the tarot reader at Nadine, said she's going to be issuing you into your new life. And part of the reason she's so powerful for me is that I've had to learn how to be accountable for my own success and my own intuitive gifts. You know, sometimes intuition and these second sight gifts can be a torment. And it isn't until we own them and not really control them, but set boundaries to them, can they actually be used for good instead of neuroses.
Yes, so, yes.
Yeah, and I think it's important, especially for women who have intuitive gifts, to realize that they are such a special thing in this world. And we, especially amongst women, we need all the encouragement and talking to one another as we can. You know, outside of the realm of doing a tarot reading where you consistently get the question, will he leave me? Does he love me? You know, the partner question, tarot reading, more along the lines of asking tarot for guidance. And I think tarot, the Queen of Wands, has proved to be such an inspirational card for me to say, ask for guidance, but listen to the answer.
I love that. And I think that's so true. I think that often, again, especially as women, we're taught to disregard intuition if it's inconvenient and like, oh, you know, no, that's just being too emotional. And it's, I love when your message of ask for guidance and really, you know, pay attention to it. I think that that's so powerful when you learn to hone in on that and use that, you know, for your highest good.
Absolutely. And I think that it's a gift that women can encourage in each other, you know, and men too. It's just that I think that our special gifts, particularly in this culture, have been diminished and we're finding our strength. And the young people especially, I couldn't be more proud of them. They're really finding their way.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a card that is your least favorite or that you kind of dread seeing in a reading for yourself?
I hate the Hanging Man. Because that means, you know, chill out, wait, you know, the answer's not here. And it's like, really, really, I'm, you know, because I'm impatient, I want answers, I want results. I'm not so good with hanging while things, you know, come to a resolution. But I always figure out later on, when the time's not right, it's not right. But I do have a tendency to lose my collective temper when I see that.
yeah, that makes sense. I could totally see that. The devil for me is the one that I struggle with the most. Yeah, I don't know if you follow, because you do follow the work of Mary Greer. Do you do your annual, like your year card every year and see where you're at with that? I'm in the year of the devil right now, which has been very accurate, and I'm excited, even though, you know, the tower can be uncomfortable, I'm excited to move from that into the tower for 2019.
So. Excellent. What a great idea. I mean, the tower is such a great card too, because it really sets the whole idea of that you're established. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm excited for 2019 for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, and we're at the end of the half hour, but thank you. I could talk to you forever, and I'm definitely going to take you to dinner at Oscar Wilde and have you sign a copy of the book for our listeners. Thank you so much, Susan. You're incredible, and your work is beautiful, and everyone can find your work at magicianandfool.com and at magicianandfool on Instagram, and the book is available on Amazon, and it's incredible, and if, like me, you don't want to wait, you can do the Kindle version and just read it in like 30 seconds later, it's in your Kindle. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Susan.
How amazing is Susan? If you haven't read it already, get Magician and Fool. It's incredible. Obviously, I'm obsessed with it. It's available on Amazon. You can order it. It's got a Kindle edition. You can get it on her site, magicianandfool.com. The only thing I'm going to warn you about is once you finish it, you're going to be craving High Priestess and Empress. It's like when you finish an incredible season on Netflix and you're waiting for season two. So it's awesome. You're going to devour it. And you really learn a lot about the history of tarot in the process of reading it. Before we head out, let's go through a quick recap. So we have a great month in store with the Seven of Cups bringing us a lot of great opportunities, but also reminding us to be as decisive as possible. This is tag teamed with the fiery Page of Wands working to inspire action, creativity, and change. And this week we have Three of Cups, aka TLC, bringing in crazy, sexy, cool, good times and cause for celebrations by the end of the week. Thank you so much to everyone who came out to Journal. We still have some great holiday events on the way. I'll be reading at Yoga Spark Tribeca on December 11th, as well as the Open Center December 21st for their Winter Solstice event. I've also recently added an Instagram Live segment, so Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, check out Instagram Live. We're going to do highlights of the upcoming week, and as well as a chance to ask your own questions and get a small mini personal reading live. You also have one more day left to enter the Bexmas Hexmas giveaway. I'm giving away an awesome gift basket of all my favorite tarot cards and books, including New World Tarot, Fountain Tarot, Tattoo Tarot, A Magical Course in Tarot, and of course, Badass Bitches Tarot. So to enter, follow Cardsy B, which most of you already do, like the Bexmas Hexmas post. It's a picture of the big tarot gift basket under my Christmas tree. Tag three friends you think would also enjoy this and repost this on your Instagram and tag Cardsy B. The winner is going to be announced on Monday, December 10th. So good luck, witches. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.